Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, May the 20th, 2026. 15 minutes past the hour. And what do we got? 59 degrees and light rain outside in the Marion area. A little colder than it was when we started the program this morning. I believe it was 61 or 62 when I came in here. It's now down to 59. And as this day goes along, we're just going to continue to have dropping temperatures, is my understanding. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Let's see, what else did I want to mention this morning? Well, you know something I wanted to talk about? As I said this morning, gas is up again. I guess it's time to hit people as they get ready to depart for the Memorial Day weekend. Up to $4.89 again this morning. It was $4.71 yesterday. And by the way, I was out in that rainstorm last night, which was not actually a bad rainstorm at all. You know, I went out, must have been 7:30, somewhere in there. It wasn't raining yet. And boy, the skies got very, 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 very dark. And I was riding around with somebody, and we were out, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes or an hour. And it just got dark, and then it stormed, and then all of a sudden it was over. And as I was driving back home, somewhere in the 8:30 range, it was just beautiful outside. The skies had cleared up, and there was this beautiful rainbow. Just as, you know, sometimes you get these rainbows that you really can't see very well. But last night, there was quite a rainbow in the clouds. Certainly, I could see it from Route 95, clear as a bell, after that particular storm. Did anybody see the rainbow last night? That was something. That was a vivid, vivid, full rainbow after that storm that came in. 740-383-9944. Now, I wanted to mention this again. You know, we've had this interesting conversation this week, and I do think it's an interesting conversation because it's related to history and also related to a lot of other things. But we've been talking about former police chief John Long, who unfortunately or fortunate, I don't know, unfortunately, let's put it that way, committed suicide back in 1974. Actually in this building, and we're still not quite sure if it was in this office or not, but in any event, this story has awakened people, because now I'm running into people who remember this story very well, and I'm not saying they played a part in it, but they certainly all seem to have information in regard to it. And I ran into another one of those people yesterday. And it's kind of interesting because it goes back to the point I was making Monday, and I'm trying not to chew my food twice here, but I know we have different listeners at different times of the day and new listeners. So here's what happened, if you don't remember this. This has been 52 years ago now, 1974, but essentially what happened is a group of city council people, 3 months before his retirement, accused police chief John Long of something. We don't know what it was. We have no idea, but they accused him of something. Now, they met with the mayor. The mayor then was Don Quaintance. They met with Mayor Quaintance, and they had this conversation. Now, after the conversation was over, John Long decided he was going to retire 3 months early. But he went to the Marion Star and said everything that the city council people said was hogwash. And Mayor Quainton said he didn't believe anything that the city council people were saying. So the city council people were going to have a press conference, and they were going to reveal what John Long had been accused of. And prior to that, John Long sits down at his desk in City Hall, which again would have been in this building, and killed himself, shot himself. Okay, so we talked about this Monday, and a lot of people over the years, when I've talked about this, have came up and said, well, this is why I think he did it, this is what I heard, so on and so forth. And the conversation on Monday turned to, well, you know, should there be a show done on this now? Now, here's the problem. As I said on Monday, whoever would come in now would have to be in their 80s or 90s, and whatever they would say would just be about as much rumor as there was 52 years ago, because they would just be saying what they thought. I don't think the investigation was ever fully carried out, and, you know, it is what it is. So, if you could get some kind of definitive answer to this, it might be worthwhile, but I don't know how you would get a definitive answer, because the investigation was never completed, because the police chief killed himself. So, the question then became, you must be guilty of something because you committed suicide. Well, the next day, well, later that day, actually, we first talked about this on Monday. Later that day, I got a message from somebody who was very close to the situation and said, yes, he was under investigation. Yes, this person was a friend of his. Thought he was a nice guy, but also said that he had been being treated for some mental issues. Now, okay, now you add that on top of there, and you say, well, if you're being treated for mental issues, and something like this happens, an accusation from city council members, might you commit suicide? Well, it makes it certainly a little more plausible that you would, even if you weren't guilty. If you were going through some mental issues, then yesterday I ran into somebody who had some knowledge of this and said, because I don't want to continue to spread the rumors, but essentially they said, this is what was going on. Now, this person's take, essentially, it was nothing. Okay. It was somewhat illegal, but it wasn't anything, how do you say this without revealing this? It wasn't something other people weren't doing as well. So it wasn't anything you'd want on your record as a police chief, I'm sure, but it was not a good thing. Let's put it that way. So in any event, is that true? I don't know, because the investigation was never carried out. So this is history. You know, I think this is just what history becomes. And I think this is always going to go down as an event in history that happened 52 years ago that was very unfortunate. And the way it was carried out was just very poor. And I guess the moral of this story is, which is why I'm going through this again, is that, you know, if you want to say something, I guess say it. But what are the repercussions? This man was 3 months away from retirement. Here's the thing. You can accuse somebody of something. You can think they're doing a terrible job. But if they committed suicide, you really should think about that. If they were so humiliated that they committed suicide, how would you feel about that? You know, I don't think that those city council members who brought this up felt all that great about what happened to Police Chief Long. So, you know, you really, and maybe more in the internet age now than ever before, you've really got to be aware of what you're doing. You know, it's not all fun and games. I get the impression that people think that it's funny. Well, you know, sometimes it doesn't end very comedically. And certainly it didn't for this gentleman. But that's my story this morning on that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 24 coming up on 25 minutes past the hour. If you'd like to talk about that, just the outlayers there, or you remember the incident in general, feel free. Or if you'd like to talk about the end of curbside recycling coming up on July the 1st and how it's being handled, you can call in about that. Or the bus fares going up, although that doesn't seem to be as big an issue for people, that the bus fares are going up. You can call in and talk about that. Or anything else that's on your mind. If you want to talk about the gas prices, if you want to talk about the rainbow last night, all is welcome this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I also was talking yesterday about the trip that I made to the cemetery on Monday with a friend. Let's take the phone call and we'll come back to this here on the big program. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I just want to be brief about the bus price increases. May 27th, that's the meeting. It's next Wednesday. It is not at City Hall. It is at the transit station.
I saw that.
How many souls do you think we can get in there?
Probably not a whole lot.
So do you think they're not planning on many people to show up to hear about it?
Well, when I first saw that that was going to be held at the transit station, there are two things that I thought about. I think they're doing it so the transit employees will be there. And obviously the transit employees are not going to say this is a bad idea.
Okay, let me give you a timeout on that one. Who gives a shit what the transit employees think about the transit rate increases, because they're not the ones that ride the bus. So why are we catering the meeting possibly around them? Second, the people that do ride the bus, how the hell are they supposed to get there at 6 o'clock at night?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's kind of odd in a way, because transit service stops at, what, 5?
4 or 5.
Four or five.
I mean, I really don't care about catering to the transit employees. They're not losing jobs, so we don't need to have a meeting to hold their hands. Sorry, I mean, I appreciate what they do, but this doesn't affect them.
Well,
it affects the people that get on the bus.
Well, it's just kind of odd the other night, because when Mayor Collins said he'd been down to transit and talked to people about the bus rates, now, I guess there probably are a few people at the bus stop down there. I can't imagine there'd be a great number of people.
It switches out there, so like you might hop on a bus, one might come pick you up at your house because they do that, and then they might take you up and drop you off at the bus station so you can grab the next bus that's going to Walmart.
Right. But I mean, okay, I mean, let's
No, it's not. There's never a mass of people whenever I've driven by there, and I used to go there a lot for my job to get people bus.
Well, I mean, let's just play this out.
It's never packed.
Let's say the mayor gets on the bus, or the mayor walks up to you.
Twyla Lang did ride the bus, but yes, the mayor walks up to you very intimidating.
Mayor walks up to you and says, hey, how do you feel about the bus rates going up? You know, I mean, what are you going to say?
Well, I think it's the best thing ever that you're doubling my cost of transportation. I'm so happy about it, I can barely see straight.
Well, what he said Monday was, and this is not an exact quote, but he said something to the effect of, they're all surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Well, I think so, because we've been talking about it for a year.
Well, right, but I mean, I think about the grocery store, and I think about when the meat prices took a big hike, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Now, I don't remember anybody coming in and saying, I'm glad that the meat prices went up. Now, they might have expected it because of what was going on around the world,
right.
You might
understand, but you don't cheer it.
Right.
Oh, so happy ground beef is $7 a pound. Oh.
Well, I can't.
And eggs, I really loved it when eggs were like $7
right.
a dozen.
But
that was fantastic.
If you are a bus rider, which I would guess means that you can't drive
a
car.
Transportation.
Right. Why would you be happy about the fees going up, even if you thought that it needed to happen? Why would you be happy about it?
Because that's how stupid they expect us to be, Scott. They expect us to believe that people who likely live on fixed income, well, I mean, technically everybody lives on a fixed income if you've got a job and can't get overtime, but they live on lower fixed incomes that they have no way to supplement. So I was doing some math in my head. There's a little lady that I've never met before. She sent me a message, and she said, honey, will you please at least ask them if we can take an extra bag of groceries on the bus with us since they're raising our fares, because I probably won't be able to afford to go out twice a week now.
Well, it's very unfortunate, and I, you know, there also is a large percentage of people who ride the bus who have their passes bought for them.
So, no, I don't think, I won't say that a large percent have them bought for them consistently. Based on my experience buying bus passes for people, I was in a transition to, like, work program is what I did, help people get jobs, get back to work, make sure they can get there, make sure they've got the clothes, you know, get them through the application process, all that stuff, and then make sure they're going to be able to keep the job, was what my job was. We only provided transportation support, I think, for 90 days.
Well,
after
right,
that,
right.
You're on your own.
But I'm saying there are groups, organizations that
do buy... Oh, yes, there are
buy,
groups and organizations,
right.
But I would say the it's probably more than 50% of people that are paying out of their own pocket.
Oh, absolutely. I it's definitely not the majority, but a good portion, I think, do have them bought for them, so they probably...
Maybe a third. I would say maybe a third.
Okay, a third. They don't care what the price is because they're not paying for it.
Right.
So, I mean, how do you tell those people from the people when you're doing this survey? I mean, I guess it's just a.
Do you think that Bill Collins, when he went down there, I don't think he went down there in a shirt and tie or anything, but do you think that a polo that said City of Marion, Mayor Bill Collins on his shirt, I think he has shirts that say that, and a pair of khaki pants, and do you think he introduced himself as the mayor? And I'll just go ahead and stereotype here. The people that go to the bus station aren't business people. They aren't doctors and lawyers and all these important people. So they're not used to talking to people like the mayor and city council people and stuff like that. And that might be intimidating to them.
Well, here's the thing. And again, this is what I have never... It's probably why the mayor doesn't do interviews. This is what I have never understood about our current mayor. Now, people can say this is a knock. I don't see it as a knock. I see it as just a little different character than the past two mayors.
Careful now. You'll get gaveled and get thrown off your own
well,
show.
No, I mean, here's what it is. Okay, now most people would say, listen, we are $9 million in the hole. We're in bad economic times. Gas prices are going up, although that is not the full reason for this. But... Gas?
Just put that as the nail in the coffin. You know, we tried to put this off as long as we could, but with gas prices being what it is, we just can't anymore.
Right, but you
Isn't
know what?
Is that great marketing?
Everybody knows where we're at, and this is something we have to do because the gas or the bus prices have not been raised in over a decade, and it's coming. I know it's going to be a hardship on several people. I'm sorry for that, but we do have to do this. Now, that's not going to be liked, but that's the truth. And I think the problem is that it's all, you know, I went down to the bus station and asked people, and
they don't tell us the truth, Scott, because they think we're so stupid that we'll believe their lies.
Well, I just,
again, we've been talking about this for a year. So it's not reasonable to believe that all of a sudden Andy put out a memo in February saying it was going to happen. So reasonable people do not believe that it's strictly gas-based or fuel-based cost.
Well,
I do not believe that he went down there and spoke to people and they were genuinely enthusiastic about it.
Well, here's what I do believe. I believe that Mayor Collins is in a tough spot. And this is why I would never want to be a tough politician. This is why I would never want to be a politician.
Agreed.
Because your job is up every 4 years. And Mayor Collins has already said he does want to run for re-election. He has already said that he said many times over the last 4 months, this is not going to be a popular decision. You do not want to be a mayor who has to run for re-election in less than a year. You know, next November, well, about a little more than a year. You do not want to be a mayor who's going to be up on the ballot and be unpopular. I mean, look at what somebody can run. And a lot of this is not his fault.
Oh, all we need is one person who can fog up a mirror. You can beat Bill Collins.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's become a very unpopular mayor.
Yes, you can run him. You can beat him on his record.
Well, but a lot of this stuff, to be fair...
Scott, does it matter at election time whose fault it is?
No, it doesn't. But a lot
if
of the stuff to
be... him, it's his fault.
No, but
in,
I think...
in election world.
But I think this is his way of trying to soften that. Because I don't think there's any way he doesn't run for re-election.
So do you think in 2 years when we're all poking at the ballot box, we're going to be like, well, he did go down there at the transit that one time and people were happy about the rate increase? Or do you think we're still going to be pissed because we're driving our recyclables to the city garage?
Well, I think the recyclables is a bigger problem for him than the bus fares. Because I
think, like, people need to go torches and pitchforks on that one, and I'm not even saying metaphorically anyway, anymore. Show up.
Well, here's
show
the
up
thing.
Because I'm reading the comments in your comment section. People are just going to throw everything away. And that hurts my heart for the earth. I think there is somebody somewhere that picks stuff out. I don't know, but financially... that doesn't make sense for us to increase our costs at this point.
Well, just the responses. I mean, if you look at the bus story, I mean, it's about what a city hall story gets. I mean, it's a few comments, it's a few shares, it's so on and so forth.
It doesn't affect everyone. That's
no, but the recycling thing is getting as much of a response as anything has ever gotten down there.
More than a shooting.
Yeah, more than a shooting. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that people do, see, because again, as I described at the top of the program, all those other things, you still have transit, you still have sanitation, you still have storm sewer.
Yes, we're actually eliminating a service, and here's the thing, it's not like if we get rid of Bill Collins in a year and a half, we're going to be able to reinstate the recycling program.
No, it's seen as a regressive thing, and also...
are we going to sell the trucks though, Scott?
Well, he said not right now. He did mention the trucks Monday. I remember he said something about we're not planning anything with that.
Okay. I dozed off at one point, and it happened to be during the recycling portion.
Yeah, I remember he did say something about that. But I just...
while we're talking about elections, I just... real quick topic switch, but it's still relevant, so I don't think I should get gavelled. I think I should be able to get this one in.
Let me just say this, though. One of our listeners out there this morning has said, who in the town is going to run against him? So there's a question.
Exactly. I've thought that, too. Who wants to step into this mess? But that goes right into the election situation. We've got city council up there asking for four-year terms because they don't have enough time, and this dawned on me yesterday while I was doing the dishes. That's where I get my best thoughts. I'm trying to leave my body and go somewhere else is what it is while I'm doing them. City Council, 2 years, they want four because they get a year to learn the job and then it's time to run for re-election. None of those people ran opposed.
Yeah.
A few of them have ran opposed. So I don't want to hear about how any of them have to get ready for an election because most of them just have to stick a sign or two. I read a comment that Ron Prater ran opposed. When we were talking about campaign finances, he had someone run against him, and he said, you know how much I spent on my candidate, or my, oh my gosh, I can't think of what it's called. You know how much I spent on my candidacy the last time? My campaign, there we go. Zero. He spent $0 and still won. So I don't want to hear how these people can't learn the job and campaign in uncontested contests at the same time.
Well, the odd thing to me, it seems to be...
See, that's another thing. We're so stupid, Scott, that they can't, oh, well, we'll just tell them we can't campaign at the same time.
I
don't believe that.
I have not heard, I mean, there are people who are very strong Democrats who you think would be against this who have gotten up and said, I think it's a good idea. You know, so...
I'm not sure if it's so much the four years that they're cool with as it is as much the staggered terms. But it's being handed both to us on the same plate, so we don't get a choice.
Yeah, but you could stagger two-year terms. All I know is that I don't believe that, and by the way, staggering two-year terms would get rid of the idea of a whole new council, which again, somebody show me where that has ever happened.
Well, I know this. If they want to go ahead and put that on the ballot, I'm going to go ahead and start organizing my campaign against it, and we're going to vote no.
Well, this is one of those things. This is one of those things like Charter City, again, where I'm not sure what the ballot box will say, but the idea that the voters are surely going to vote for this, I'm not sure about that. I really am not.
Hopefully we vote no so resoundingly that they get the idea that we don't like them.
Well, because here's the thing. One thing, there is a big feeling in this country right now about People need term limits. Now they're usually talking about Congress and the Senate. And I think the idea of extending, if they just see the extending of a term of somebody, I'm not sure that that's going to be greeted very well.
I'm going to make sure I point out it's all the 80-year-olds that are asking for the term extensions. So.
Well, it's just, it's a very odd situation. Oh, and by the way, I did not get a chance to bring it up yesterday, but the auditor was there on Monday, and during the Finance Committee portion of the meeting, when she was asked about updates and what's going on.
We still don't have 2022 reconciliation.
Well, but she didn't seem to know what really, when things were going to be over, what was happening, what was going on. I mean,
and no one screamed at her.
No, and I'm not saying anybody should get screamed at, but
no,
I
didn't mean that. I just meant that in showing how the behavior has
The behavior
changed.
Is different.
The answers are the same, but the behavior is different.
Well, I don't know why anybody ever thought that somebody was going to walk into that office and fix everything. I just don't, because
they don't understand how things work.
Has anybody ever been in that office? I mean,
I've been in there.
Well, no, but I mean, has anybody ever been in there and looked at why the problems exist, what exactly the problem is? I mean, you know, you can't just put a new body in there with somebody who has a little more financial experience and expect that everything, you know, 5 years of mess is going to be cleared up in a blink of an eye.
No.
You know, they have hired firms to come in here and try to fix this, and they can't.
I was thinking about that. Veritas this morning, we paid them $275,000 to try to fix 1 year, and they actually walked away from us and said, we're sorry, it would be unethical for us to take any more of your money because there's nothing else we can do.
Right, so
now,
I don't...
for 1 year of corrections, and so, that took, what, 2 or 3 years to get done?
Well, right, so I don't know about this guy who apparently is having some health issues who's working on it. I don't know why he thinks he can fix it. I mean,
well, I have his original proposal that he made. It was the contract. Tommy Brees gave it to me the night of council when they first started talking about it. Because I remember going up and asking questions about it, and I thought $125 an hour for a CPA it's cheap. I was thinking the man must be retired or something like that, and does this as a side hustle, you know? For $125 an hour, CPAs usually make. Practicing CPAs $300 to $500 an hour easily. So I thought, you know, he's having a junior accountant, one of his junior associates do this, or he's a retired guy and he does this for, I don't want to say fun, but for extra income. Accounting is fun to accountants. But I remember asking that and saying that's a very good price. But what concerned me was that he said he was going to have a year's worth of work done in 4 weeks. And I have a contract that says that. And I even got up and asked counsel. I said, do we think that's realistic that this man is going to have a year's worth of corrections done in 4 weeks? Now, that's me coming from my accounting perspective of knowing probably almost impossible to have a year's worth of corrections done in 4 weeks unless you work around the clock.
I think one of the issues that has not been explained clear as a bell, because people still don't understand why there is this big debt and why the auditor's office is screwed up. And even when you ask people, well, why is there this big debt, they'll say, well, reconciliations haven't been done in the auditor's office for years. Okay.
Or money was stolen. They'll tell you money was stolen.
Right, which is wrong.
Lay people will tell you money was stolen.
Right.
But
here's the here's essentially the problem. Because there was a period of time, and I'm going to say a year and a half, where the books were not balanced properly and proper records were not kept.
Oh, it's more than that, but yes.
But I mean, this is where it started.
Yes.
Okay, there was that period. Because that happened, you can't go back in time and fix that to the dollar because you really don't know. You've got paperwork missing. You've got receipts missing.
In theory, you should be able to. In theory, you should be well enough documented that you can go through and every single transaction is tied to a source document. That's the way accounting works.
Right, but I don't think...
But you need somebody that understands accounting to be able to do that.
Well, but
To start it from that... From day one, someone that understands that process had to have been in there doing that process. If somebody didn't understand that process, no, you cannot recreate a year and a half worth of financial transactions.
But the problem was that went on for a long time, and for a long time it was unbeknownst to city council that was happening. And it was about, I would say a year and a half that that went on without people realizing that things were not kosher in the auditor's office. So by the time that happened, you know, everybody was...
Oh, yeah. It had snowballed. It had definitely snowballed.
Right. So to go back from... So that is a problem that is going to be terrible to fix.
And that is one of the reasons why I believe strongly that the state of Ohio will step in and start managing our finances, because in more than a year, we still have not been able to get a handle on 2022.
Well, and I also have to say, people who say that we're in this mess in Marion because the books were not reconciled. Well, okay. Reconciling the books just means balancing the books. Now, why would you, if you knew the books were not reconciled, why would you vote to spend anything new?
You know, I agree with that. And that was one thing, one of my main concerns under the Collins administration when they first came in and just started spending money like gangbusters.
Well,
I didn't know how bad we were. You didn't know how bad we were, but we knew we'd lost our bond rating. That's bad enough.
Right.
That's bad enough to pump the brakes.
Right, but what bothers me about that answer is that, you know, that is kind of to place blame on the last...
No, and I was getting ready to back up to Scherzer. What I was going to say about Scherzer...
Well, the last two auditors is what I was going to say.
Well, yeah, it is the last two auditors. And, I mean, I like McGinnis.
Right,
but
no, but... But what I'm saying,
but she's not a good auditor.
Right, but what the point I'm going to make is, that's meant to place blame on them because they didn't reconcile the books, so that's why we're in $9 million in debt. Well, no, wait a second. That's not exactly correct.
They don't spend money.
They don't spend money. So if you knew the books weren't reconciled, which you did, why were you spending money? Why did you believe that the city of Marion had this money? I mean, I guess I don't understand that.
I mean, I listened to Jason Schauber from some of those times, and he'll say the exact dollar amount. When Scherzer left office, there was $17 million. You know, I mean, he's able to pinpoint, and they know exactly how much money that was there. They just didn't realize how much money was outstanding because of all the bad accounting practices.
Right, but if
so
you
it's
know
like,
that...
You know, like I go buy stuff and my accountant never enters the invoices. I still look at my bank account and I see $17 million.
Right, but why were they coming up with budgets? Because they can still come up with a projected revenue now that is pretty close to what it is. So they had projected revenues. Why were they passing budgets that were so far and away above that? Even though they didn't...
I'm going to be honest with you, I can't speak well enough to old city council budgets to know which one is the most outlandish, but I know the one we have right now is $6 million more than projected revenue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't take long to get rid of $16 million when your budgets are $6 million out of whack. And
well, but Scherzer was pretty fiscally conservative, and it was, I think, my opinion, he was pretty miserly when it came to, he wouldn't...
He wasn't spending anything new, but the budgets were not balanced.
No, I mean he would definitely dip into the surplus, but I don't believe he would have ever dipped into the surplus to the tune of $6 million.
No, I don't think he would have.
A million, maybe two. I mean, because isn't that really what your carryover is for?
Well, that's yes, but and that's what happened essentially with the county. The county doesn't have an auditing problem. The county doesn't have a reconciliation
problem.
Yeah, but they knew. They knew. I mean, it's a very similar situation.
Oh, yeah, they
situation.
Knew. They fully knew when they passed it that they weren't going to be able to afford it this year, but it wouldn't be Mark Davis's problem.
Right, but two people voted for it. I mean, you know.
They sure did.
Right. So the point comes back to council that they have a scapegoat in the auditor. Now, again, I'm not saying that the auditor was perfect. I'm not saying that at all.
We need to look at this like a business, okay? If city council and the mayor, we'll call them your chief executive officers because they're the ones making the decisions and spending the money. And you got your chief financial officer. Your chief financial officer is keeping track of the money, the spending, the expenses, the revenues, you know, your interest incomes, all of those sort of things. And you're telling your executives and your legislative, even though, you know, because we're talking government, but you're telling your CEO and your board of directors and everything, this is our financial position. This is how much money we have. We do not have the money to take on this debt. We do have the money to take on this debt. So, I will hand out a little bit of blame to a council that knew that we had no bond rating and continued to spend money. Because no bond rating is enough. We didn't need any of the other stuff that's happening right now to tell us to pump the brakes.
Like I will say, go back and find the interview that I did with Mayor Schertzer. Now, this would have been in 21. And I'm trying to remember when the auditor's issues first, maybe it was 20. I'm trying to remember how long that went on. But there was a day when I believe it was the state auditor came to Marion and had a meeting with Mayor Schertzer, and it was a bad meeting. And he became aware of the issues in the auditor's office. And he came from the YMCA at night. We taped an interview that night that aired the next morning, and he went through the peril that the city of Marion was entering in, the peril that we were in if we did not fix things, and
I think he would have ran for another 4 years if he. I believe he knew this was coming. Well, I mean, you're talking telling he was telling warning of peril. I don't believe he ran
but
again.
I mean, that was from day one.
I don't know the man.
That was from day one, and you know what? The thing of it is that I believe at that point he realized that he was working off of books that didn't make any sense. And mm-hmm. and I believe that's why he didn't do a lot of things in his last term that maybe he would have wanted to do. You know, usually that's when people get very
right.
Gracious with their mm-hmm. budgets, but he did not.
Build a memorial to himself somewhere?
Well, yeah, that sort of thing. But, you know, I don't believe, I think, I remember the first, I can remember that conversation clear as a bell to the degree. I remember him coming in and saying that the grants for the city were going to be in peril, that transit was going to be in peril, that the senior center would be in peril.
Have you heard us applying for any grants lately?
Well, you got the grant writer.
But when you think about it, have you heard them say, asking for authorization to apply for grants lately?
No. And again,
haven't.
See, that's it.
You mentioned the state auditor coming down and having a conversation with Schertzer. Collins mentioned the state auditor coming down here a couple of times.
Well, and why does it...
Think about this, though. After they've been here, he told us they've been here, twice, and they've worked with Chelsea. After, he announced in February that we were going to raise bus rates and cut to curbside recycling. He did not do it. Now that we've been told the state auditor has been here twice recently, it's coming down that curbside recycling is going and bus fares are going up. So maybe he was trying to hold off, hoping he wouldn't have to, and they came down here and said, you told us you were doing this. Why haven't you done it yet?
Well, I never understood that either. Why you put that in your plan in February, sent it off to the state auditor in April, but you haven't done it in May.
But they've come down, they came here and visited us in person twice, and now it's happening.
But why doesn't anybody ever, why doesn't anybody ever say what they're saying?
Tell us what the state said, because they don't want us to know what the state's saying.
Right, but I mean, let's
talk about how nice they are.
Yeah, but let's get some transparency here. I mean, what in the world are they saying to you?
All right, I got some transparency for you. I'm not going to divulge the contents of the phone call, simply because it's ongoing and it's going to be too sweet to watch unfold. I spent 35 minutes on the phone with the Ohio Ethics Committee Monday. They called me.
Oh?
Yeah.
Now, in regard to city matters.
Oh, city matters, yes.
Well?
So, I wrote a complaint in 2024, fall of 2024, and ethics complaints are very, very hard to get past them, because you have to call and have a little screening interview, and you have to talk about, and you have to say what sorts of proof you have before they'll ever even send you an intake form. It's not like you can just email them a complaint. You actually have to mail them a complaint, because they are confidential, and they don't want an electronic footprint of it to where, you know, I could post it or do whatever, and that's just their policy for everyone. Paper complaints and phone correspondence. They don't do email correspondence. So it had been a really long, I mean, it's been over a year, but I know ethics investigations take a long time. I know state investigations take a long time. It had been over a year, and I'd heard some grumblings about the things that I had written about, and I sort of watched those go. But I wanted to know about some of the other things, because here's the thing with an ethics complaint. If they find wrongdoing, they turn it over to the county prosecutor first. Or county prosecutor's big buddies with the people that I wrote these letters about. So there's no way he's going to prosecute them.
Where has he been lately?
I got Roy Grogan for you in just a second.
Okay.
So if the county prosecutor doesn't pick it up within 90 days, they make it public. So I wanted to know if they'd offered this to Roy Grogan and if he had declined it. I sent an email, like, could you please update me with the status of this? I'm the reporter. And I just expected an email back that said, you know, this is being investigated, or this was investigated and we found no wrongdoing, or, you know, something along those lines. Instead, I get a phone call from an investigator at the Ohio Ethics Commission. And we spent 35 minutes on the phone, and we talked about the things I had already, briefly about the things that I had already made the complaint about, because they've already been investigated. But then I updated her as to the things that have transpired since I made that complaint originally. So, I mean, there's a big ethics investigation going on in the city of Marion, and I know that for a fact because I'm part of it.
Well, where is Ray? I mean, I haven't seen him anywhere.
So, actually, last Friday, Heidi Ratliff had a hearing to see if her case could be dismissed. She is still going to trial. Ray Grogan is still fighting to hide the fact that Ayers was acquitted of his crime. He wants to bring in the fact that the father of the victim was accused of a crime, but not that the father was acquitted of that crime, just that he was accused, because remember, Heidi intimidated a witness and she obstructed justice. So Ray doesn't want to tell the potential jury that the father was found not guilty and those crimes didn't really occur. He still wants to prosecute the mother for intimidation of a witness in child endangerment and obstruction of justice. So, Ayers' daughter actually spoke, recanted once again. She has her own attorney. The attorney was there on over the phone. It was a conference call situation. They couldn't be there in person. And Ray, calling himself the Minister of Justice. Now, people are going to say I'm just being cruel, but after speaking with some other people, I believe this is a legitimate health concern. I saw Ray Grogan, the last time I saw him was at the end of January for Ayers' trial. I think that might have went into the beginning of February. The next time I saw him was when I went to court for Jason Foreman, the Operation Marion Washington guy that was trying to get the fact that he'd had sex with a 13-year-old sealed again. I saw him there. And Ray does not look good. It's been about 3 months since I've seen him, and he's gained a noticeable amount of weight. Like, I'm not going to put a pound on it, and I'm not saying this to be cruel. Someone told me he has heart issues. But
really?
His hair has, yeah, that's what I was told. His hair has grayed significantly. I mean, in just a couple of months. So I know his son was ill. I did read that his son is fine now. His surgery took care of all of his issues, and he didn't need any other treatment, so that's fantastic, and that's a reminder to teach your young sons about cancer prevention and cancer detection.
Absolutely.
So that's something parents should be doing for their children. But so the son is fine, but Ray doesn't look good. I mean, for somebody that doesn't see him every day, the change was very noticeable in a few months of how much he had aged and the weight gain. And I hope that, like, it's not cardiac related, because someone says he has heart problems, and that's the kind of weight you gain when your heart's not doing so well. Or, I guess, when, either way, emotionally or physically.
Well, maybe it's the thing his son went through was weighed on.
Well,
I mean, I don't think that was good.
Yeah, and extreme amounts of stress, obviously, can cause you to gain weight, also. But the way he's still trying to do Heidi Ratliff wrong, man, and to stand up there and say, like, to call himself the Minister of Justice trying to get a case sealed where a man had sex with a 13-year-old girl, and in the same breath, continue to prosecute Heidi Ratliff for a crime her husband didn't commit.
I have a question before we run out of time. I didn't think to bring this up. You know, the Bravo competition coming up Thursday
mm-hmm.
night,
Thursday.
7 to 9. Yeah. And hopefully we'll be able to make that. But my question is was there some kind of kerfluffle there last week that I missed?
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Because somebody brought that up to me recently, and I said, I don't know. I didn't say anything.
One of the people who has a child competing also happens to work for the Marion City Police Department. She was very, very vocal, trying to get Rocky Ratliff thrown off the school board when he announced that he was going to be Ayers' attorney. She was at Ayers' trial. She was one of the cops. She's a records clerk, so I don't understand, but she was one of the cops that showed up the last day of court. Remember when they did their big show of force? They brought one of the records clerks with them. So this records clerk apparently hates Rocky Ratliff, tried to get him thrown off the school board. Heidi Ratliff was there, and she was with me to watch my son perform. And I don't know.
I didn't even see her back there.
Yeah, she was back there. They came in from the restaurant side and snuck in back to where we were seated. I don't want to say snuck in, but they came in the back door. They didn't. That's why you didn't see them come through the front. I don't know if just the sight of Heidi living her life, because I hadn't been drinking that night. I had one glass of wine at like 6 p.m., and this was around 9 o'clock. I don't know if just people seeing Heidi being happy or living her life or being a normal human being. But the woman went to approach her, and I knew that Heidi had court the next morning. I knew that woman had been drinking, and I also knew that she was affiliated with the Marion City Police Department. And there was no way that Heidi Ratliff and I were going to come out on top on that situation if something went south. So I just stepped between them and told that woman, I said, this isn't happening right now. And she said, this started a long time ago. I don't care when it started. It's not happening right now. I don't know, confront people. She had her finger wagging and waving and whatever else. I said, fine, if you want to do this right here, we're going to go live on Facebook. Well, she backed all the way up on that one. And then I got my phone out and just started recording because I knew we needed to make an exit, and I wasn't going to let that get ugly either. You know what I mean? Like, we just needed to get out of the building. And she went over there and tried to get me thrown out. Now, the funny thing was that she was talking to one of my friends who was there just to take pictures. That's how drunk she was. She was going up to anybody trying to get me thrown out.
Just quickly, the story that I heard was something about she approached a child.
She tried to get, because Ayers' daughter was there. She tried to start in on her, and I put her and Heidi behind me.
Yeah, but I mean,
they were both sitting with me.
But nobody knows why.
I know why, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Well.
Well, I mean, it's not like anything. The woman tried to approach a child. Let's just put it that way. And then she tried to approach the child's mother. And I saw it was about to happen, and I wasn't going to let it happen. I defend my friends, especially when they have to go to court for felony cases the next day.
Well, I can't remember. Somebody told me that this was on the social media, where, you know, we're all eventually going to go to die one day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I put it on.
But I don't think it was. I don't think it was you, because somebody
put on there that she accosted his daughter.
Oh, well, maybe that's where it came from then.
Well, and she came full on finger wagging, mouth running at us, and I just stepped in between it so she couldn't get to who her intended target.
Oh, okay.
So she intended to make a scene with Heidi and Annie. Ugh, I didn't mean to do that. She meant to make a scene with Heidi and Annie. And I just didn't allow it.
But
me and my camera.
But she'd already started.
She'd already started. Bloodshot eyes, finger wagging, mouth running.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, I know how tall she's not. She's shorter than me. That's how close she was in my face.
Well, I mean, that's unfortunate. I had just heard that.
I knew we were not going to win when it came to an employee of the Marion City Police Department. Heidi's got to go to work or go to court tomorrow. And she's a Ratliff, and she's with Naomi Craig. No, we were not winning anything that day. So my camera came out for proof. And you know what happens when cameras come out, Scott? Miraculously, nearly every time, mouths shut. It's amazing.
Well, that's too bad. You know, that this happens at a kid's competition.
She went over to a table full of kids. I know, and at my son's competition. And her son had competed, too, and he did the best he's done through the entire competition. I would want to just bask in that instead of fighting her at us. But that's me.
Well, you know, I don't know. People in public, I guess.
Marion City Police Department, remember. Show of force, last day of court.
There it is. Well, thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we're out of time today. Well, maybe we all can just be a little nicer to each other as we go on down the road. I'll be back tomorrow. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Think, Fred. My friend, Adam the computer guy, can fix it.
How soon can this Adam get over here, Bonnie?
Right away, Fred.
Well, he better hurry.
Whether your computer needs to be tuned up, or perhaps you need more memory, Adam the